shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
But I hear a funny sound. Dave, good evening. Get it for Dave. All right.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm doing pretty awesome. Had a Fisher's Island myself, so I'm feeling pretty great.
Nice, nice. Hey, listen, you started off your week today. Dave just, if you guys you don't know, Dave just took the number two position over at Tuscany at Mohegan Sun. So big shout out to Dave for taking that job, huh?
Thank you, thank you.
How about that? Look, people clap for you now. He just moved from Michigan where everybody hated him. Like he had no friends and everybody hated him. So now people are clapping for you. It's good, right?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, well, make sure you talk into the mic, not like this.
We can't hear you like this.
But like this we can hear you.
Right there.
Hey, listen, so we had a great weekend. Dave came out. You came out and helped me. We did a barbecue together where we actually roasted an entire pig out in Montauk, right?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. It was actually first time in Montauk. Crazy experience, just the island itself and everything going on there.
It's a different world, right?
It's not the real world.
No, it's not the real world at all. It's definitely not the real world. But we did a whole pig. I thought it was fun, though, because we were having a whole pig roast. We did it inside of a box. So we had this giant – so with the best part of the whole story was, you guys, when Mr. Knife, a.k.a. Mike from here at Ergo Chef, found out I was doing this, they have a brand new Simtar. Have you guys seen this knife they have? It's literally it's like a sword. They have a sword that they're selling people now. And they say it's for meat. But he brought it to me at 10 o'clock at night, banging on my door. I'm hanging out with my family. This crazy dude that's sweating shows up with a knife in his hand. He's like, you got to have this knife to cut your pig. And I'm like, that sounds like Silence of the Lambs. But that's fine. Whatever. I'm not going to judge him. But that's what happened. Then he showed up. But, dude, how awesome was that knife?
Yeah, it was great. It goes right through bone, went right through the sternum.
Yeah. And if you guys want to see Dave, he'll be back in his cage later on in the back. So just make sure you throw him some money out there. Yeah, but it did. It worked perfectly, right?
Yeah, it was perfect.
Unbelievable knife, man. I was so happy with that.
We didn't have to use a bandsaw. We just used the knife.
Yeah, we just totally used a knife, and it worked out great. But that pig came out awesome, which I thought was so ironic because we were doing this here tonight with barbecue guys, and we were doing a whole pig. How fun was that? It's just ironic.
Yeah, it was a great time, though.
Okay, terrific.
Right, we'll just move on then. Sorry. Well, it's going to be fun tonight. We've got Stretch here, who we've talked to a little bit and been hanging with. That guy's a nut, huh?
Yeah.
I think he's awesome. I think he's great. But more importantly, right now, we have another good friend of mine, our friend Chaney, who hung out with us for the show we did at Mohegan Sun about a year ago. She's here with Fisher's Island Lemonade, and this drink is unbelievable. So I'm happy she's here. Guys, give it for Chaney, huh? She's hanging out with us.
Hey!
Chaney, we've been talking about doing an event all summer.
We have, and it's finally happening.
Oh, we're here now. You're sitting on the stage with a light in front of your face.
Do I look okay?
Mm-mm-mm. No, don't build her up. She doesn't need any help. Chaney needs no help from any of us. I'm kidding. Fisher's Island, this stuff, you've been with them for a while now. This is fantastic.
I have. It is awesome. It's whiskey, lemon, honey, and vodka all in one can. And it's a beer can. It's 9% alcohol by volume, and it's awesome.
So I have three kids, and that was actually going to be my three kids' names until my wife stepped in. Whiskey, vodka, and lemon.
There's always your second marriage.
Right. So it's your second marriage. I hope not. Now, how long have you been with Fisher's?
About a year now, and it's been quite a wild ride. Last time I saw you was at Mohegan Sun.
No. Was it? It was maybe in Hartford doing an event or something.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe it was. But nonetheless, but Fisher's Island Lemonade, this particular product, can we talk about it for a second? You guys are actually, it's actually brewed. It's not like some fake nonsense.
It's definitely not fake. That's real alcohol in there. Just
I
to
can
clarify.
Tell.
Ouch. You can tell everyone can,
that hurt.
It's, well, that you know, hurt. It's It's a cocktail in a can, ready to drink.
Right.
You open the beer can and you pour it out, which is amazing.
I mean, you could write an instruction manual.
I could.
I mean, no? No one. Yes? No?
It's really not, it's not hard, but the good thing is we've been around for about 4 years. And we have kind of cornered the market. We're the number one cocktail in a can. We're the leader.
Wow. Now, there's a lot of cocktails in the cans coming out. I just saw Litchfield Distillery has a whole line of cocktails in the can coming out. Are you guys, like, going to set up a match? Are you going to fight? What's the story?
It's possible, though. We are on top, and we don't need to fight.
Oh, so. They got to come take the belt from you.
Yeah.
That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. Now, Fisher's Island is available everywhere, right? Pretty much. Here
it
north.
Is. Liquor stores, restaurants from New Hampshire to New Jersey.
Wow. Wow. And what's the next big expansion?
That is under wraps at the moment, but you can go to our website and you can have Fisher's shipped to your door.
Wait a second. What website is that?
Fishersislandlemonade.com. No, it's not. It's WWO.
Do you want me to answer your phone for you? I can get it. No, that's fine.
Can we talk to that person?
We could talk to him.
Yeah, great. So it's FILemonade.com and follow us on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook at FILemonade. And we're awesome. We're a lot of fun. And we want to meet some new fans.
You just said you're awesome. Don't call yourself awesome in front of people. It doesn't sound
I
good.
I will do it if I want to.
First of all, when I look at your Instagram, too, all I see is Filemonade. That's how I read it. Filemonade. You think F-I-Lemonade. If you try to spell it out, I read it as Filemonade. And I don't, well, I had high hopes for that. Didn't work. We'll try it
later.
A lot
of people say that, but it says F-I, Fisher's Island Lemonade. It reads weird, but, you right. know.
Well, it's a great product. I love it. I had it for the first time with you, and I've been buying it ever since. The cool part about it is basically it's two drinks per can, right?
It is. It's two cocktails in every can, so it comes in a four-pack, as you see over there by Stretch. Wave. See the Vanna White over there.
And there's yep. Stretch. He's flipping his hands around for the
oh
can with a smattering of applause for Stretch.
What I like about the product, if it's two drinks in one, when you get pulled over, you just say you only had four drinks.
Oh, dear.
His math is phenomenal. This is. I mean, for those of you who don't know, Stretch was a math instructor at the college level, which is amazing. So, Chaney, how did you get involved with the product?
Oh, well, I've always been a fan since the beginning.
Yeah.
I've been going to Fisher's Island for a while. And all of a sudden, this job kind of appeared, and I tripped and fell into it, and it was awesome. And I love this product completely. I do all their marketing and events, their digital footprint, everything. I wear 17 hats with the company,
ooh.
And our founder, Branya, is another 6-foot blonde who's awesome, and we're kind of taking over the world, so it's
nice.
Great.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, make sure you follow them. Dave, you remember what that was?
F.I. Lemonade.
That's right. That's
ding,
right.
Ding,
make
ding,
sure
ding,
you
ding,
follow
ding.
Them at FILemonade.com on Instagram and Twitter, and it's Fisher's Island Lemonade on
Facebook.
Them interwebs.
Interwebs.
Yeah.
On what? The website?
The website, yeah.
FILemonade.com.
Stop giving me your product and I wouldn't mess this shit up.
I'm doing my job.
This is your fault. This is Dave's fault. He's supposed to know this. No, I don't want any more. I don't want any more. Well, thanks for being here. We really appreciate it. Chaney, you're the
Very
best.
Welcome.
Look forward to having one more cocktail before I leave tonight.
Just one?
Well, yeah. Well, why is he laughing? That dude's had seven. He's like, it's good stuff. He's like, I don't even know where I live.
Fair enough.
Thanks, right. Chaney. We'll talk to you later. Guys, get up for Chaney right there. Fisher's Island Lemonade. That's good stuff, Dave.
Yeah.
I can never tell if Chaney wants to be my friend or if she doesn't.
Maybe
you ever met
like
someone like that? You look at them and you're not sure if they're like looking at you like want to stab you or they want to like give you a hug.
She probably wants to stab you.
Thanks for your vote of confidence. Well, the fun part of tonight actually wouldn't happen, you guys, without our good buddy Mike here from Ergo Chef. He's sitting right there, a.k.a. Mr. Knife. Mike, come on up here. Guys, give it for Mike Stive. Come on up here. Come around here. There it is. Mike's he's great, man. See, the thing is that as a professional chef, I've been using Mike's and Scotty's knives forever, and I actually really, really like the knives, and I threw away, Dave, as you know, I threw away my expensive Shuns I was using to replace with Ergo Chef because I love them. And I got you involved in them now too, right?
Yeah, I actually got rid of my Wusthofs and I use
now,
Ergo.
Here's the thing. I don't think you actually like Ergo Chef knives, but then I saw your hat and your shirt and I was like, no, maybe he does like them. If you guys don't know, Dave is wearing an Ergo Chef knife shirt and, of course, an Ergo Chef hat. Mike. Thanks for having us, man. What a fun night.
Absolutely. Thank you all for coming. Thanks for coming to Ergo Chef. And Chef Plum, you're a gentleman, a scholar, a jokester, a chef.
I was just telling my wife that, and she was like, you're full of shit. She didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Your wife's great. She's a wonderful woman. Put up with you.
Very patient. Amazing.
Very patient. Very patient.
I thought you were on my team. Well, Mike, this is a fun night, man. And but I think it's interesting for people who don't know. Can you give the abridged version of where the whole concept for the Ergo Chef knife came from?
Cliff Notes.
Yeah.
Sure. It'll take about 15 minutes. Okay, so... Just kidding. So Ergo Chef came actually from that guy right there, standing near the Fisher's Island Lemonade near Cheney. And Stretch, Scott Stibe, was really the inventor and the idea behind it. So he was a chef, professional, working in the industry and in the kitchen, developed tendonitis and carpal tunnel in his hand and arm. So based on that, what did we do? We sat down and designed. Are you going to press a button? This
no,
make me
no.
sound stupid.
No, I'm not doing anything.
So based on his ailment, we sat down with our dad's machine shop and our engineers and other chefs, and we came up with different angles for the knives, and we tested the angle that we have, and it actually works really well.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for something to happen here.
But, I just you would be
anyway,
a great like
the
DJ
patented,
guy.
The yeah. patented ergonomic design, it's a U.S. patent. We got on that, and it worked so well that we decided to start a company. So based on his results and his friends that were using it in the industry and at culinary schools, a fledgling idea turned into a 16-year now company. So it's pretty
16
awesome.
Years you guys have been around now.
16 years. And
wow.
Yeah, we're still the little guy because we all do it.
That's what I heard.
Grassroots. It's all grassroots marketing and...
Thank you.
And thank you. That's yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it's been fun. We're family owned and operated. My brother, my sister, my dad had started the whole thing with us and helped in his machine shop, and we got started that way. And now we're here in our own business.
I mean, you guys have done nice for everybody, though. Place. I mean, Guy Fieri and Michael Simon.
Okay, so to toot my horn, yeah, I did. Get Guy Fieri, Michael Simon. Green Egg Company. We did a 2-piece set for them.
Yeah.
Custom set. What else? Ben Robinson from Below the Deck. If you ever watched that show.
Who else?
Who else?
No, that was I hit the button on accident. I apologize.
And yes,
really,
something new will be coming out this holiday season too. Another line with for Guy Fieri. So another couple of knives. So we did a Myron Mixon barbecue grill knife.
There
yeah,
you
with
go.
A funky hook on the end. You might have saw it out in the showroom there.
I used that knife on television. When I took it on TV, they all looked at me like, "What in the hell is that?" And I said, "Listen, my buddies over there, Mike and Scott, are Ergo Chef. You don't want to know what that's for." Let's just go with it and pretend like it's not there.
It's a
there.
Back scratcher or a yeah. gut knife.
Wait, what is it again?
Okay, terrific.
Well, Mike, we appreciate it, man. And you've been such a good supporter of me and everything that we do. I mean, you've been a big part of Restaurant Road Trip, our TV show. But you're so close to everybody else, even meeting guys like Stretch. And just one of the things I love so much about what you and Scott do is that we all kind of subscribe to the same mindset of, you know, if we all work together, we can make a bigger pie, then we can all get some, which to me, I think means a lot. And it means a lot, all the things you guys have done to help us out and be successful, especially with Restaurant Road Trip, with this program, with just even doing events like this and doing our food fight events, which are so much fun. So thank you for all your support and your help, and I appreciate it. And
absolutely. Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, we work together, and we all do things for the good of each other, whether it's designing products, you know, being friendly with people, asking advice from everybody.
Yeah.
We get good input to make products better and turn out great stuff. So, and you're doing that with your food. You guys don't know this, but he's like money man right there with food. He's an amazing
chef. Wait,
was it
Dave or me?
Both of you guys are. I'm talking about you, Chef Plum.
I'm just kidding.
Plumster.
Thank you. I appreciate
yeah,
it.
The guy's a killer caterer, so if you need catering, not that you can get him because he's booked for like 2 years straight. So.
Stop.
But anyway, no, thank you very much.
You're the
thanks.
Man. You're
thanks,
leaving
guys.
Now? Day, you decided
it's
you're
my
done?
My turn to go, right?
All right, well, you can go. He just thought he was done. You guys see that? He's like, I'm done.
You don't want me.
Give it up for Mike, guys. Give it up for Mike. There he goes. You're the man, brother. We appreciate it. Up top, okay, or not. High five going nowhere. No one's even there. We're just, there we go. All right. Wow. See, Dave, those are the kind of guys who are like, that's what the show's all about. You find these industry guys who can help out and want to be a part of it and want to, you know, it's almost like a symbiotic relationship. Don't ask me to spell that.
I really wanted to ask you how to spell that.
Hey, could anybody spell symbiotic? If you could spell symbiotic, I'll give you a prize. Who could spell it? Can anybody spell it? Spell it better than me. Anyone. Oh, my God, you guys aren't even trying? You'll try? All right, hang on. Dave, take her over to that microphone so she can try it. Well, we got to record it so people can hear you. Dave, just follow Dave. He'll take it. There's a microphone here we got for the crowd. You're going to get this. And listen, let me see what I got here. I got a box. I got a box of prizes here. From our friends over at Chef Spoons.
I'm terrible at spelling. S-Y-M-B-I-O-T-I-C.
Did you say T-I-C?
Yes.
I think that's right. Is that right? Yeah. Is that right? Let me try. S-Y-M-B... Nope, you got it. You got it. I think she wins. Dave, let's give it up for her. She's going to win herself a nice little selection here of Chef Spoons here from our good friends at Chef Spoons. Come on over here. Here, let's get here. Let's give her this one. Let's give her one more. These are the greatest spoons on the planet, man. They're awesome. Here, which one's is that? Yeah. Here, let's give her this one. She'll like this better. It's a Chef Plum Chef Spoon right there and two tasting spoons from our friends over at Chef Spoons. Check them out. They're awesome. They're beautiful. Give it up for her. How about that? We should give her a hat, too. Let's give her a hat, too. Will you wear a hat or no?
Yes, I have one that I like with lights.
Oh, okay. It has a light on it. Sure, sure. We all need lighted hats everywhere we go. Dave will get you a hat right there. So, there's no batteries in that hat, but it'll be good for you. So listen, these spoons are fantastic. We'll give a couple more away throughout the night, too. But we have another guest I want to bring up to the stage, right? It's not you. You were smiling a lot. Dave, you come back up here, Dave. Another guest I want to bring up here right now. I'm not sure if you guys had any of the delicious barbecue. You guys have any delicious barbecue that was outside tonight? You had some of that? Yeah, that stuff was amazing. I tell you what, it was done by my friend Chef Terry, aka Chef Zip. Chef Zip Exchange. Make sure you check him out. Here he comes right now. Pick him up. Let's talk to him. Give it up for him, Chef Terry, aka Chef Zip. Excellent. You got to hold the mic like to your mouth. It's a weird one. We'll use the other one if you want. Or Dave will fix you up while we get that one done. Kerry, we got to talk about, you were serving some sliders out there tonight, brother.
A couple sliders.
Yeah? And you had, tell us what they were.
We had the pulled pork, a little pimento cheese. We did a spicy fried Nashville chicken.
Nice.
A little house-made bread and butter pickle and some Mike's Hot Honey.
Wait, before you go, let's talk about Nashville hot chicken for a second, right?
Sure.
Let's explain what that is to everybody. Nashville hot chicken, cayenne pepper.
It starts with an oil base. So usually it's like part canola oil, and what I do is I add in bacon fat. And then there's also cayenne pepper, brown sugar, and then about six or seven other spices mixed into it also.
Nice.
So it's a nice mix of everything. A little spicy, a little sweet, but it's nice.
It's delicious. It's delicious. And, of course, the pork belly.
And then the smoked pork belly, which is basically my soft bacon.
Oh.
Delicious.
Oh, unbelievable, man.
A little S-Y-M-I-A.
Wow, delicious. Man, how long have you been doing smoked foods and barbecue foods?
For a little while. Not a long, long time. I lived in Virginia for a while, so I started down there doing some things, and... with the clubs that I worked at, I kind of kept it going.
Right. What part of Virginia was that? We talked about this?
Williamsburg.
Yeah. I'm from Richmond. And then freaking Stretch over there, he went to VCU, St. College. I went to for a little bit. I mean, I went to college, like, kind of.
So
down there.
Wow,
it's just...
Anybody.
I was a music theater major, so I was great at cooking food and jazz hands. It was amazing. Yeah, it was great. So, what's fun to me is that the truck that you've got out here, because you came from working... in like the clubs and things like that.
Private golf clubs.
Yeah, and now like you're doing the food truck thing, which has kind of always been something you wanted to do, right?
Just something different, yeah. I've been in the club business for about 25 years.
Yeah.
And had a contract that was up and things kind of worked out, and this food truck came along and it just kind of seemed to fit at the time.
Nice.
So it's a good way to start, maybe into a restaurant, but it's a good way to test some things out, see what the... what the area likes, what the area needs, that kind of feeling. And
do you want to do a restaurant? Like, I've been offered four in the past year, and I want nothing to do with it. The hours, the time. I have three kids and a family. Like, I want to see them.
In the right place and right area. I mean, the whole thing
is
tough. You know, my daughter's in college now.
Right.
So it's my wife and myself. And, you know, it has to be the right situation. It has to fit the right thing. So it's a big time investment, a big money investment,
yeah.
A lot of risk, but... you know, if you want to try it, I got to try it.
But it's like you have this truck, and you guys are killing it, man. You're booked. Like, every time I look at your schedule, I'm like, wow, here is doing a private event. Here is doing a private event.
Yeah.
I mean...
and we just started, too. We literally just started 3 months ago. So everything from this point on, it should get busier and busier, which makes it easier for me, too. So...
I mean, some of the best food in the state, hands down, I'm not just saying that. And my show, we travel all across the state and tasting people's food. Some of the best food in the state is sitting right here beside me. This guy is phenomenal. I'm not making that shit up.
Thank you very much.
It's awesome. Last time I came by, I think I bought like $100 worth of food from you.
It was impressive.
And I took it all home, and I was like, yeah, don't worry about this. And he's like, God, he's really eating a lot. And I was like, that's a really nice way of saying I'm a fat guy. Thanks. No, I appreciate that.
You're husky.
I'm husky. Is that what it is? Do you want a beer or something, man? You good?
I'm okay right now.
You want
I'm
on Fisher's okay. Island? It's good
I
stuff.
Like
yeah.
Like that.
Dave will grab it for you. Well, man, so listen, did you go to school or where did you start? Where'd you train or how many years have you been doing this too?
I grew up in Danbury.
Right.
You know, I actually started at like pizza houses and things like that. Worked at
There's pizza places around here?
Yeah, a few.
That was sarcasm. I think every other restaurant's a pizza place.
Country club, and then I went to the culinary. And then after the culinary, I just moved all around the country.
What year are you CIA?
I graduated 87.
87,
so,
yeah.
So, yeah, it was a while ago, but it got me to move around.
Right.
So, you know, down to Virginia, down to the Florida Keys, out to California, and then my whole family was here, so I came back.
Well, let me ask you, because we talk about this a lot on the program with people who are trained and who aren't, and, you know, I think that school is, I graduated from CIA. Like, I think school, at my time when I went, mm-hmm. I needed that. You know, the people to tell me what to do. I needed that discipline. I didn't have it at the time. I needed that.
Yep.
And it was a good thing. But you have guys like Dave, who are phenomenal cooks, who are working their way up. He just got the number two position at Tuscany.
Yeah, I heard.
And he's kicking ass at it, but he's never been to school.
No, not everybody needs it.
Right.
I think, you know, it's a good thing. It couldn't hurt.
It's a great basis, right?
Yeah, it's a nice thing to do if you had the time and you got the money, too, obviously. It's great to do. Some people can do it without it. Some people can just, you know, you're going to put in more time and work and a lot more restaurants and things like that, but it's a good place to start.
Dude, I think they're doing barbecue classes now at CIA.
They are, absolutely.
Which is crazy. That's awesome, right?
They hit everything now.
They make beer.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It's awesome.
Yeah, Dave's like, wait, what?
Yeah, they got the Brooklyn breweries right
there.
Yeah,
right.
Right on campus.
Yeah,
so
right at school.
It's awesome.
So how's the truck been overall? Because you've been doing it now just about a year, right?
No, actually, only like 4 months.
No, is it really?
4 months. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
It is.
It's even for, I've done a lot of different things and there's a lot less people. Now it's myself. My nephew helps me a lot. My daughter was helping during the summer, things like that. My wife does every now and then, but she's got a full-time job.
Sure.
But it's a lot of work. But
well, it's got to be pretty cool having your daughter help you and like be there
it was
and
great.
Have that time together.
I never had that time with her.
Right.
Never, ever had that time. And that was the best thing about the summer, being able to work with her all summer long, even though she didn't want a lot to do with it, but she showed up every morning and she left when it was done, and you know, so it was
let
nice.
Me ask you this, now having your daughter work for you, because I have three daughters and they're not there yet, they're getting there.
Yeah.
Was it yes chef, no chef, or was it like, no, dad, I don't want to do it.
No, she knows better. When it's on the truck, it's all business and things like that. At home, she does whatever she wants to do. But,
right.
You know, it was on the truck, it was a nice change. A nice change. For
that's awesome,
so,
man.
Yeah, it was fun.
But has the quality of life changed for you at all?
It definitely. I've done a lot more things. I mean, you know, I can book my own things now.
Right.
So if I want to do something on a weekend, I don't have to work.
Yeah.
Which is a lot different.
Which, I mean, for those of you who don't know, I mean, as a chef, I mean, my God, I ran a resort where I worked 80 hours a week, and they wanted more from you, and the only way to get a break was to go outside. It was crazy, and you can vouch for this.
Yeah.
There was no breaks on your 15-hour day, and Dave, you can vouch for it too. But if I said, chef, let me go smoke a cigarette, yeah, go ahead. That was okay, but if the chef can take 5 minutes, what? No. What's wrong with you, right?
Yeah, that's why
it's
I started
insane.
Smoking.
That's what it was?
Yeah.
It's good for breaks. It's good for breaks.
That's how you get your break. That's how you get your break.
No, in the industry, it's insane because you work all the time, and people, you know, it's said a lot, but people just don't realize that it's literally all the time.
Yeah, so, it's literally all the time.
Yeah,
like, you know, it's
7 days a week.
I got asked once to go talk to a middle school as a chef, a job for, you know, a job fair
somebody
or something for kids.
Out,
I didn't do a very good job.
No,
I was like, you want to hear your life? Let me tell it to you, kid. You got any bourbon? And I'm sitting down. I'm like, well, how old are your kids? Don't know. I haven't seen them in 10 years. Where's your wife? Don't know. Probably with their boyfriend. I don't know. How about your first wife? Haven't seen her either. But that's just the way. That was the life it came from.
And that's a good life.
Well,
yeah, that's a good one.
No one's bothering me.
Yeah.
But it's funny, though, because that's what it was. But I think it's changing now because you're seeing more great chefs like yourself making that change to doing things like what you're doing now.
Yeah. I mean, there's other opportunities. That's the whole thing. I mean,
right.
It's just more out there now to actually, you know, 10 years ago, this probably wasn't even a profitable business
Definitely
to try
not.
To get into.
Definitely not.
But now there's a lot of venues. There's a lot of possibilities. And, you know, it's going to take a lot, but there's a good avenue to go down. So.
Yeah. Well, because it's almost like we become the next rock stars, you know, like people love a chef. Dave, well, we won't get into how you can vouch for it, but it's an app called Tinder. Dave is a recently single gentleman. He finds out that lots of women like people who can cook, even if you're only a four, which is great. So
I think I'm an eight before I can cook. So,
Carrie, what do you think? What's it?
I have no opinion on this at all. Please, none
Come
at
on.
All. None at all.
Hold on, let me take my. What about now?
There you go. The hair. Yeah. It's the hair. The hair is a four. That's it.
The hair is a four. But you're seeing these guys who are coming out almost had that because of things like Food Network, because of things of like what our buddy Stretch does, because of, you know, just you're put on a higher pedestal now, which I think as a whole makes our industry better in the long run.
It's good and bad, though, because people coming out of these schools now, though, also think that they are the badass and the next best thing, and they're flat out terrible.
Right.
And they all think they should be making $80,000 and they should be able to be a sous chef, and it's nobody thinks they have to put in time.
Right.
Because they've seen too many shows on TV and they know exactly what to do. And
right.
They have no clue at all. And it's terrible because there's actually less cooks now than there was 10 years ago.
For sure. It's almost like being a cook is a bad thing.
Yeah. You know? And all you got to do is you got to just put in your time. That's all it is.
Completely. Just put your time in and it pays off in the long run.
It does. It does all the time.
Man, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that's what this whole point of this show has been about for the past, 15, 20 episodes. It's all about teaching young kids that it's okay to be a cook for a while. It's what you got to do. I traveled up down the East Coast as a cook.
Just learn.
Yeah.
Just learn.
Just spend some time
learning.
I always
wanted to learn from somebody. That's all I wanted. I wanted to go someplace and learn. And then when they can't, then you move on. Then you go to someplace else.
That's
and learn something new. And just it's the best thing you can do.
Right.
It's fun.
I guess it's fun.
Yeah.
I think it's fun. Yeah, you're right, man. You're totally right. Well, there's a guy that we have with us tonight who's traveled a little bit around all up and down the East Coast and the West Coast and all across different countries. And he's a damn good barbecue guy, too. Is he around here? Do you see him anywhere? I'm going to play his music for him. But he's a super sweetheart of a guy. It's my first time meeting him. We have a lot of friends that we're kind of cross paths with, Panini Pete, Guy Fieri. We've had a lot of buddies of ours who are kind of the same group of friends. And this guy, we've been friends on social media and whatnot. We've never had a chance to actually sit down and talk and be buddies, but we've had some time tonight, and this guy is awesome. I tell you what, I was so happy to see him and meet him in person, and I couldn't believe that we had the chance to talk to him tonight. But he's been off on the East Coast. We've seen him all over the Food Network. You've seen him with the Mess Lords, which we're going to talk about, which is a phenomenal group of guys. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would please put your hands together for the one, the only, my friend Stretch. Give it up for him right here. Here he comes. All right. Look at this.
Wow. I guess made a 6 foot girl cry. 6 foot blonde. Not the first time this week.
I don't even know where to go with that. You have a bunch of chickens on your neck, which if this is
this is my protein necklace.
It's a cock necklace.
There's
like chickens,
it's
like
almost
the chickens,
like a porn.
Like a rooster.
Yeah.
Relax, everybody. Relax.
You know, I run around with a cape on quite often. I wear a cape on quite often.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, "Hey, Stretch, you know, you have your cape on." And it's like, "Well, a cape on is just a castrated chicken."
Oh, that's true.
So
actually,
like, kind of weird, but throw a leg over each shoulder.
Well, Stretch, man, it's awesome.
I don't feel
you.
Safe over here.
Yeah, you're good.
I've been stabbed once already here at Ergo Chef today.
That's true.
I'm bleeding. Got thumbs and band-aids.
Well, that was Darren's fault, but listen, you're safe by Dave. The only thing he's going to do is drink and just look at you and blink uncontrollably.
That's true.
How you doing, fella? Do they let you in the kitchen? Do you wear one of those little beard guards?
No. I used to.
It's still long. It's still long.
It's usually a lot tighter. But
no one needs that in their food.
The worst part is that's not the only time he's heard that, not even about his beard. Stretch, it's nice to meet you, man.
I'm having fun. Hey, enough of you, Plum. Talk to me down here.
Well, dude, we were talking earlier, man. We've had a lot of the same kind of run-ins with the same buddies, the same group of friends. And you and I, we've been friends on social. We haven't actually had the chance to talk in person and hang out. But glad you're here. It's a pleasure to meet you in person, man. I tell you what, your story is just something else, brother.
It's a new day.
It is a new day.
Every day I add another chapter.
Do you?
I got to meet these guys today. They were out there. Let me park my bus out there. We had an air conditioning deal. I was over at Oak, the Chopper place the other day.
Yeah.
I did an interview with a cat last night.
What? I saw that on Facebook, right?
Yeah, it's great. I people think I make this stuff up. This is my life. It's bizarre.
We need to get you some friends.
It's like the wheel of chaos and interview a cat. You know, there you go.
Dude, we got to get you some friends to travel with. That's what it is, man.
It's low maintenance. You just put them in a bag, throw them under the bus.
Yeah.
I mean, my friends.
I was talking about wives. Stretch, man. So the interesting, I think what I what really
are there cat lovers here? Yeah, that's a dog crowd. I like that.
Good. I think one of the things that I find most interesting about you, you're an artist, man. I think that's so cool. Like you're a sculptor, right?
This is true. I fall under the description of artist, and sculpture falls under that. And I was trained in art and design, and sculpture was where I found my passion.
Wow.
You know, when I was in art and design years ago, it was all computer stuff was coming out, and everybody was clean, and they had, like, you know, Barry Gibb playing in the background, or Kenny G, and, you know, press type. It was not cool, and the guys who were in sculpture were listening to, like, ZZ Top kicking up 20-foot rooster tails with grinders and, you know, drinking whiskey. And I said, that's a little more my style.
That's it, right?
I was gone, boom.
That's it.
Took my mohawk, packed my desk up, and I was gone.
Well, what kind of art, like, what kind of sculpture do you do? Like, I've seen you doing things with steel, and I've seen you actually have done some painting, too, right?
Yeah, I'm a mixed-media artist. I kind of get bored pretty quick, but I'm mostly known for my large outdoor steel and glass sculptures that are, you know, 20, 30, 40 foot tall. They're all over the world. I've basically littered the world with artwork at this point. I save the planet one chunk of steel at a time and resell it for a lot of money.
I mean, you make it sound so romantic, dude.
It is. No, it's crazy. It's been a crazy ride. You know, art's taken me around the globe, literally from Africa to China to Republic of Georgia, and now food does.
Right.
And, you know, I worked through, well, I was in art school. I worked in restaurants, and that's how I, you know, I could make artwork all day long and then go flip some. Actually, the first job I ever had. Well, I won't tell that story. That's pretty good. That was at Woolworth. They have Woolworth. Well, I'm on the East Coast.
Woolworth.
I did fry baskets at Woolworth. I was a stock boy, actually, and I got caught huffing whipped cream canisters. The lady at the, you know, back there, Marge, you know, at the arms, you know, and she was back there, and she's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Nothing. Na 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 na." What are you doing? Nothing. Na 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 na. I was just checking out your equipment. Na 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 na. She says, you never say that to a woman, by the way. I'm just checking out your equipment. And she quickly put me to work, and I flipped my first fry basket that day. And I was like, hey, this is easy and fun. And I started cooking there, and then I had a job at a McDonald's. But through art school, I could make art all day long and then, you know, go to the bar and work at the bar and pick up girls and drink and food and go back and do the same thing.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that, though.
That's 100% true.
There's a lot of truth to that. A lot of people in the business who, I mean, listen, it's a great way to meet people, and you get to work with a group of people who become very loyal to you. And
function. It was designed out of function for this one for me.
That's it, man.
And I've, you know, made a career out of it. It's crazy. I didn't think I was going to get back into the food world, but where I was in Kansas City at the time, I moved back. I did my undergraduate in Kansas City. I left Philadelphia, went to art school in Kansas City, did my master's in Richmond.
Shout out.
Ooh, VCU. And then back to Kansas City to teach at the Art Institute for a while. And where we were, where the galleries were all hopping, I opened the third gallery in the Crossroads Art District that we have there. We're doing the first Fridays and that kind of stuff. But the other hipster gallery, you know, restaurants were coming in. And just, you know, a little more gastronomic kind of stuff and fancy pants with a lot of smears, the stuff you guys do. I don't understand that still, but, you know, smears are smears.
The spoons I have are
the spoon. Are the spoon helps
great
the smear?
Smearing, it's perfect.
You guys like the smear on your plate? Do you want food on your plate or a smear? I mean, it looks like something crash land, like, ah!
You know, I mean, you're totally leading the witness here, too. Like, come on. Like, you're leading the witness.
They're still doing it. But I'm all for the vertical food. You know, if you can stack it tall, like, you know, Chenga, you know, you're getting into something cool. You know,
I think that's a good happy medium, though. I mean, if you go on my Instagram, you'll see. And you can find that at @chef_plum on Instagram. That's @chef_plum on Instagram. There's a few dots and schmears as well. But there's also giant pictures of whole pigs being butchered.
Hey, you did one the other day. How'd you like that?
Dude, it was amazing.
La Cucina.
Yeah, we did it in the Cucina box. We had the scimitar. We cut the whole thing up in front of all the, I mean, just blood everywhere. I cut my thumb. Like, it was just bleeding. You can't tell what's pig blood, what's my blood. People are staring at me. The best part was it was in Montauk. So, like, they're too afraid to say anything to you.
Was this a paid event?
Yes.
You going back next year?
Yes.
There you go.
We're good to go, brother. We're good to go.
Does everybody know what these La Chiquita boxes are? Basically, it's a big wooden box that has an aluminum interior, and you can cook up to a 70-pound hog in this thing.
Right.
And it's kind of a Cuban way of cooking, or if you go way old school, they used to dig holes in the ground, like in Hawaii.
Yeah, it's
but living
Hawaiian
in the city,
Cuban,
it's very difficult to dig in asphalt. Mm. So basically, you bring the hole out of the ground, and you can put the pig in there. And
it cooks from the top.
It
cooks down from the top. And you know, the funny part was, though, brother, was that we put a bunch of, on the bottom, we put fingerling potatoes and we put corn. The idea was that the fat would go all over the fingerling potatoes. It'd be just amazing and delicious. 4.5 hours later, potatoes still weren't done. And so here's the thing. Because that pig takes
so
much heat, it just takes all. I mean, they were cooking, but they weren't done. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. And you think about the science behind it. Makes total sense. All that heat coming down, but it's blocked by the pig. The pig absorbs all of it. So we end up having to put them in the oven to finish them, but they still suck.
Next time, foil them, just put them in the coals on top.
Well, I thought about that, but here's the problem. People out where we did the event would be like, oh, it's dirty. They wouldn't want to eat it.
If they're wrapped in foil.
No, no, no. Just put them right in, like dirty onions.
Well, you can do that. Well, then they're going to complain.
It's about me, Scott.
Hey, we're here all night, folks. Actually, we're behind schedule. Let's pick this up. What else you got?
So listen, man. So you go into working in the food business, man. You're traveling the country. I want to talk about Mess Lords a little bit and explain what that is to everybody, because I think it's such an important thing that you guys do and what it is, man. Just how you travel around and work with the Navy. And
so Mess Lords is a group of culinary chaotic clowns that we started years ago with Guy Fieri as America's Chefs. And they're all celebrity chefs. Everybody has to have been on television. We travel all over the globe since 2009 cooking for the troops. And we donate our time. We've been everywhere from Guam, Japan, Egypt, Romania, Czechoslovakia, Crete, all over Europe. We've been on aircraft carriers. We've been on submarine bases, helicopter squadrons, army bases, England, everywhere. Wherever we have troops, we've been. We've served probably close to 100,000-plus meals at this point. We have about 10 chefs at this, you know, at this juncture. And several have been on your show already.
Yeah.
It's really, really rewarding. It's not just always for our boys and girls that are over there fighting and keeping us safe, but it's for their families. There's just as many families that are overseas away from their family in America. So we give them what we call a forkful of freedom. We bring them a little taste of America back
That's a Panini Pete if I've ever heard one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I came up with it, actually.
You came with a forkful of freedom?
Yeah. Panini will take credit for everything I say, by the way. It takes Panini. Panini's like 6'5", so it takes a while for the ideas to get there. He could be already back home, and it sinks in.
That's funny. But it's a great thing you guys do, man, because you go in there, but you don't go in there as the celebrity chef, which I want to talk about in a second because I hate that term. But you guys go in there, and you're actually cooking. Like, you show up, and you have done events where you have chefs come, and then they basically send a recipe.
No, we're in the trenches. We are in the trenches.
You guys are there cooking.
And we teach them. We work with them. We used to bring all our own ingredients, whether it's our sauces or whatever. Now we try and just cook out of whatever they have in their book. So we teach them so they can re-cook healthier and or make the same meals in their 14 or 21-day rotation. And we literally are cooking. I mean, we get there, and we're in the trenches. And you know, we've done breakfast, lunch, and dinners for 5,000 people a day.
Wow, how about
that? It's horrible sometimes. But, you know, you do it for a few days and you're gone. We just did a barbecue run. I did 3 countries in 9 days. I did Singapore, South Korea, and Japan.
Wow.
Bam. Overnight cooking all night long each time. And I brought a newbie along. And, I mean, cooking for 700-800 people on 3 Weber cookers is not an easy task.
Like 3 Weber grills?
Like 3 Weber smokers. Yeah,
oh,
that's it.
Jesus.
And so it's... We pound it full of smoke, and then we finish them in our ovens.
Right.
And just get enough smoke in that product because they miss it. And it's a different meat wherever we go around the globe, so it gets pretty tough. But it's a lot of fun, and they love it. They just love it, and they come out, and it's photos, and it's America, and it's TV, and it reminds them of home, and they take a little bit back with them.
Man, that's amazing. And it's so good for them, and just, you know, especially for chefs to go over there or people who work in food, because you don't call yourself a chef. But people, you know, you're the head of the brigade. You're head of the people. It's the chef.
It's true, and I've always hated it, but you know, I've accepted it. But it's one of those things that you can send. I've gone out with American Idols. I've had cheerleaders with us. We've had musicians, BMX riders, for one of these family days. But when you send a musician over, they're only there for 45 minutes and then sign autographs. We go over and we feed them, and then it gets put back in every 14 days, 21 days. It's a savory reminder. It's the smells. It's the food. It's the taste buds. It's more than just hearing that memory of Kid Rock coming out and way to go, Kid Rock.
Yeah.
You're actually part of something. You're face to face. You're feeding someone.
Such a powerful thing.
I think, you know, art, food, and music cross all cultural boundaries. I don't care where you are in the globe. Everybody has art, food, and music, and it brings everybody to the table.
Right.
But the world's problems can be solved at a table breaking bread.
Completely.
And I think it's just it needs to happen even more.
Man, absolutely. I couldn't
agree. Here. Here's to Fisher Island and everyone here. There you go.
Give it up for it.
This is very acidic, by the way.
He's yelling at you.
I can only drink like 9. Acidic.
Here's the problem. After the first 3, you won't feel the acid anymore.
Is that 18 if I drink 9?
There you go. That's right, because they double them up. Dude, you've done several shows, too, on the old Food Network, man. I want to talk about those a little bit with you. And it's not only Food Network, but you also were on... Home Makeover?
Oh, man. You know what? Happen? My first, you'll love that. My first TV gig, I remember my parents were so proud of me. I was on MTV, and I was wearing a loincloth. I did the War of Alice in Wonderland back in 1990. They were like, oh, that's nice, son. That's what you're doing. Nice. That's what you're... Get out of here. The best there goes all our money from art school.
When Scott showed up, he goes, hey, can I wear the loincloth? And I was like, no, you can't. There's nothing under it.
My first big TV national, international, was Discovery Channel. I did a show called Monster House.
Monster House, yeah.
I was supposed to go on Monster Garage with Jesse James, and I canceled on him three times because I had projects. I was literally in my studio working, building sculpture, and it's before I opened a restaurant, and I couldn't find some ratchets. And I was like, someone said, hey, you can win tools on this TV show.
Right.
So I applied, and boom, I got a call back. And I said, hey, can you get on the show? I was like, no, I'm over in Paris doing sculpture. And then they're like, oh, okay. And I said, hey, can you come on? I said, no, I'm in Florida doing a sculpture. Hey, can you? I was like, no. And no one cancels on Jesse James three times. Oh, I was like, geez. Yeah, whatever, I'm busy. And then I get a call, and I go do Monster House, which was the offshoot of the whole. I had no clue what the show was. It was horribly produced. We lost, but we got all our tools because they screwed up. I'm still using those tools today.
Are you?
And so that opened, that aired, it was a double episode on the night I opened my restaurant in September of 2004. Wow. Man. So it's kind of cool.
It's funny how shows work like that, too, because you'll find there's been some good ones and bad ones. I've done them, too. And the good ones are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And sometimes the bad ones are even more fun.
Yeah, so that was early on. Then I did some National Geographic stuff. Then I got picked up for, I did a half a dozen or so Extreme Home Makeovers, building and on camera. I was supposed to do that full time. And then I did, you know, Diners, Drive-ins, and Dives. Yeah. Anyone's ever heard of that little show. The guy and I became friends. And you can build a million bridges, you know, as they say. But then, you know, you do one Food Network show, you're a celebrity chef. And then I did Cutthroat Kitchen.
Can we talk about that for a second? Can we talk
Bar Rescues. And
it drives me crazy, people these days. Honestly, it's almost more of an anomaly if you haven't been on Chopped. Everybody does Chopped. I'm like, oh, now they're going to call me to be on Food Network. They're not. It's not going to happen that way. It's I mean, you're a dime a dozen. Like, I've done Chopped, Grocery Games, Cutthroat Kitchen, America's Best Cook. I mean, all these shows. It doesn't really matter anymore. It's almost like everybody does that.
They're running out of people.
Well, that's the whole point.
I mean, we got all the calls back, and they, hey, can you do this show, this show, this show, this show? And you had to pick.
That was it. And now you can't. So the way it kind of works now, the first one you do is Chopped. If you do anything else before Chopped, Beth won't take you. She's the casting person, Beth Schiff. She won't take you if you've done anything else. So it's a whole, like, way you do it now. But with the way Food Network is changing these days, we're going to see a lot less of those shows. Chopped will still be around. But, I mean, notice there's been no more Cutthroat Kitchen. All those competition shows are gone.
Yeah. They got to change their format.
They have to. They have to. It's changing, man.
Who knows what it's going to be. Maybe it's, you know, Jesse James and the Monster House shows put everybody in the Votech schools. Culinary shows on Food Network, everybody filled the culinary schools. So maybe the next one will be, you know, the vet school. You know, the veterinarian schools would fill out. Where's our zoo guy? Yeah. Would that be a good thing if we got a bunch of veterinarians all of a sudden? We got to come up with a concept, you know, let roadkill savers or something. You know, go
actually, that should be a, you know, that should be a food show,
right? Well, you know, my Animal Planet show. You ever remember that one? That was called Eating the Enemy. One had a good long life. That was a great show. It was a great show. It was until PETA got involved. We went out and there's invasive animals. So I was down in Florida and it was called Eating the Enemy. The idea, the concept, the hook was capture, kill, and cook, and get on a menu invasive animals. So I did iguana.
Delicious.
I did Asian carp. Okay. I did nutria. I did wild boar. And, you know, I had shitty time slots. It was on, like, Christmas Eve and New Year's Day.
Yeah.
But it was kind of fun. I mean, those iguanas, I mean, they down in South America, they pollo. Here's my Spanglish. Pollo, oh, by the way, my Spanglish name is El Extendo. Pollo del Arbol. So it's like chicken of the tree.
Yeah, yeah.
But they have, you know, their claws in their shit and stuff. So salmonella, you know, it's all bad. And they just fall out of trees down in Florida when it gets cold.
Wow.
And they come up on your patio like squirrels and they scratch. You get salmonella, you know, it's poisoning. It's horrible. So, you know, they have a problem. So we captured it. It was great stories about that. They brought in a specialist to kill the iguanas for us. Because I wasn't allowed to kill the iguana.
You would have, though.
Then you have to... I'd snap its neck, whatever. You know, you'd chase it down like, you know, big Bowie knife. But they gassed them. They do it humanely. Because people call them. It's like the Terminator guy. And it's a pest. So they come to the house, and they put him in a cage, and then they gas them. You really got this Stallone thing going. Adrian! You see it?
A little bit, yeah.
I just left Philly. And so we're having our big meeting with the production company at this Fancy Pants restaurant, and we're getting to know everybody, feeling each other out. And the chef gets a call. The gas guy who gassed these iguanas put them in the big walk-in cooler, but he didn't gas them all the way. And they came alive. He's a professional, you know, and he didn't gas, so they were still alive, tearing up his walk-in. I mean, they were just all over. So they had to get rid of everything in the whole kitchen. But we made some great food with it, you know. It was a lot of fun.
Wow.
So anyway, you know, and that's what's fun about food in the kitchen story. You can talk about all the great services you had, and you're up all night and fixing this and fixing that. That's the glorified side is great service. But it's the behind the sides of the scenes of fixing equipment on your hands and knees. And that's all those culinary kids who want all that TV all time that, we're talking about.
Right,
forget
right.
about cleaning out the sugar snakes and all the rest of the crap. You know, well, wait, you're in the truck. You know, you got it coming. You
That's
know,
it.
You got balls going into the truck first, which is smart. It's just a seasonal thing, but it can definitely work your menu. I think everybody should figure that one out. By the way,
yeah, I hope so.
But we got to talk about too before we get into talking a little barbecue with everybody here.
Oh yeah.
Grinders, of course.
That's GrindersPizza.com.
Thank you. There you go. But the restaurants, man, how many do you have now?
We just opened our fourth restaurant in Lawrence, Kansas.
Is that the one with the brewery or the breweries?
The brewery's in Leavenworth, Kansas.
Okay.
No. Lawrence is called Grinders LFK. L stands for Lawrence, F stands for fun, and K stands for Kansas.
Nice. That was witty. Nicely done.
Well, the people there use the word F as in fornicate.
That's what I was thinking. But the fun part is that these restaurants, I mean, some of them are in like one's a 100-year-old building, right? Where you just
More than that. The original one downtown location with the music venue, we can do about 3,000 people there.
Music venue, dude.
Yeah.
You just opened that up randomly out of the blue one day, right? You're like, oh, that's
12 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, let's do music. I keep telling my wife, it's like, you know, all I need is a brothel, a masseuse, you know, and start growing pot, and I think I have all my bases covered.
And she's in, right? She's working on that right now for
whatever.
You.
She's a florist. She's got a green thumb.
She's at home. She's like, oh, well, I'm making plans.
Yeah, I got the brewery, you know. Downtown original 1898 is that building. The building in Leavenworth is 1867.
Wow.
There's some 1800 parts of the Lawrence location. And so they're all funky. It's the deal with, you know, what I do. It's
right.
it's not a strip mall. We're not strip mall people. We're find the cool, funky, weird stuff, bring life back, blow back into that community, give it a little, you know, resurgence.
I mean, their pizzas are great. Like, if you're doing pizza there, you're doing sandwiches, you're doing kind of everything. But it's all about going there, and there's great food, and there's beer. It's just a really fun spot to hang out at. So you're opening one here in Connecticut very soon.
Probably not. I'd probably do barbecue first. You know, when it comes to pizza, I mean, it's great pizza, no doubt. It's like bringing your own sand to the beach.
Yeah.
You have great pizza. You have great cheesesteaks. You know, the barbecue, I bring barbecue out this way. You know, all my soup, salads, and deli and stuff is great. But, I mean, I'm competing with great stuff where I got all my ideas from.
Right.
I'm in a no man's land out there.
Well, you're seeing the barbecue grow here, too, which is kind of interesting. With guys like, you know, the boys over at Hoodoo Brown, great guys over there. And, of course, Bear. And,
right.
And there's a lot of stuff. And, of course, Carrie's doing great stuff now, too. It's really growing. You're seeing it take off, right, Carrie? You've seen it kind of here in the States?
There's a lot here now. There's a lot.
It's changing, right?
Everybody's learning more and they're bringing it back
yeah.
from where they've worked and things like that. So it's kind of opening it up.
It's interesting to see how much has changed, man. And is that all over the country stretch? Are you starting to see that more everywhere? Or is it
globally?
Yeah.
I was down at Meatstock in New Zealand this year. they're making American-style barbecue in New Zealand.
Really?
By the way, New Zealand, have you ever been to New Zealand? I mean, it's a whole other world, literally a whole other world. There's nothing there that can hurt you. Australia, everything. You just come outside and they want to kill you. Ants, flies, snakes, alligators, whatever they got down there. People. There's nothing that can hurt you in New Zealand.
Really?
No mosquitoes, no bugs, no insects. They don't even have snakes
wow.
in New Zealand.
Mike, book our New Zealand trip for me, all right, buddy?
There Here's the deal, though. If you go to New Zealand, you might as well just stop in Boring.
What do you mean? Is nothing going? Is it just
Bora Bora?
Oh, Bora Bora!
Yeah, it is. It's literally boring. But it breaks up Oof. The monotony of that long flight. It's gorgeous. You guys are going to get a room together on one of those little palapas over the water. Enjoy yourselves. And have you guys seen the picture of Mike? You know, you guys know Mike and Ergo Chef. He was a swimsuit model years ago.
That's true.
In his Speedo, it was pretty special.
That's true.
He gave it up.
Every time he showed me a picture, I just felt great.
I was waiting for that.
That's true. So
how come you don't run that? You're just enamored. Can you stop? I'm getting creeped out
now.
Yeah,
a little bit. You and me both. Especially the way he keeps looking at us with his weird lips. It's I don't know. But the way you see a barbecue kind of change globally, man. How different is it from someplace here, Stretch, versus, you know, in Kansas City?
So the twists that people are doing, everyone's watching the videos and the Myron Mixons and the Pitmasters. Oh, I was on Pitmasters too. Another show I forgot about. So there's your Memphis, there's your South Carolina, you're there Kansas City, there's your Texas. Now you're getting people that are the culinary guys that are getting into it with the bellies and different way of prepping, and it's speeding up the process through the KCBS and, you know, the cans. People are cooking in the cans now. So the whole notion of low and slow is kind of going out the window on this stuff. I don't know if you guys know that. So guys are cooking these briskets in 5-6 hours versus 12, 13, 14 hours, and they're getting great product. The sauces are changing. The culinary side. I'm afraid it's going to turn into, and here's an example. Art has its own vocabulary.
Sure.
People in the upper echelon talk about art, and they make people who don't understand art feel like crap. Then wine gets that way. And now beer has gone that way. And food has gone that way as well. Food is, everyone has taste buds. Everybody has familiarity with food. It's a necessity we all need. And barbecue is going that way. It's kind of getting kind of hoity-toity, which is weird. When you go to have a soul food, tablecloths and, you know, paper napkins are the, you know, paper napkins, not cloth napkins, are with soul food. You can go to a soul food restaurant and get tacos are $11. I mean, why do you have an $11 taco?
That's a really good point.
You know? And now barbecue. You know, the barbecue sandwiches were invented. The white bread was for the white man because they didn't want to eat with their hands.
Yeah.
You know, so they made a sandwich out of it. It shouldn't have a tablecloth. You know, it just doesn't go together.
That's true.
You know, it's much more crude. It's backyard. It's fun. It's environment. You should be able to laugh and giggle and have a mug of beer. You know, not, oh, well, this IPA is good. It's good shit. You know, 27,000
BPU.
He's
absolutely right about that, man.
And so it's changing. Is it for the better? No clue. I just want people to be able to talk about it and not feel left out of the conversation.
Right.
That's why I started hating the art world even more so.
Man, how about that?
Sorry if I offended anybody.
Tonight's guest is the one and only Stretch. Follow him on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch Artist.
Now, Carrie, you're sitting out here, man, doing barbecue all the time and serving your food, which is phenomenal, doing things like Nashville chicken and doing pulled pork and pork belly. Mm-hmm. Is there something that's on your menu that you see people are more afraid of, like oh, they don't like the pork belly, or they're afraid of the Nashville chicken because it's too hot? Or is everyone kind of all into it right now?
I think they're all into it. And I also think barbecue is good when it's all, like, relative, but it's also good when it kind of shoots off into different areas.
Right.
People put their own things into it. And that's what I'm trying to do. I don't want to do standard barbecue because there's so many that do fantastic, and I'm not going to try to compete with them.
Sure.
So I have to do what I want to do with it. So I take those products and I kind of use the smoke to how I want to use it and kind of change things around. So I may not do the traditional barbecue, but I'm going to kind of do things that I think taste good and go together that I know from trying different things and go that way.
What do you think is the most important thing you tell someone just getting into barbecue, Carrie? Like, what would be the first thing you would tell them? They're looking into smoking a brisket. Let's keep it simple. Smoking a brisket. What's the first thing you would tell them to look at or do or be prepared
just
for?
Good meats and basic seasoning.
Yeah.
Period. Just don't try to overdo it. You know, if you want to just go with the Texas thing and just do salt and pepper and just go low, slow, and just, you got to have good meat, though. You can't start with something that's inferior, because the whole idea of trying to take something that's not good and make it better doesn't always work.
Do you inject?
So, I don't. I just salt, white pepper. Salt and black pepper. That's it.
Nice.
Done. And, that's, you know, that's real simple. And then, you know, once you learn more and you get a feel for it and you want to try more things and you add your sugars and your spices and things like that, then you just got to keep on doing it. You got to fail. You just got to do it a lot.
Sure, that's sure. All. It takes time. Stretch, what do you think, man? What would you tell somebody who's doing a brisket for the first time?
Always look at your product to start with. You can't make a horrible product taste good. But it depends. Look at your taste bud. I mean, look at your bank. Look at your bank. You can definitely alter things. In barbecue world, sauces for mistakes. That's what they say.
Okay.
You can always put sauce on it to make it taste better, but you want to start with a good product. In the restaurant side, injection and adding different phosphates and things to hold moisture. Moisture is money. Do you do ribs, by the way?
Not on this, no.
Yeah. No. There's no money in ribs. It's very hard, but because you're buying meat by weight. So you're paying for the bone.
Bone, yeah.
But if you're going to deal with a brisket, you want to use, or any animal for that matter, protein, you want to use as much as possible. So when you're buying it and you're trimming it, save whatever you can to utilize in any other fashion rather than just on a sandwich. And when people are getting into the pork belly, which is a hot item right now out there, it's just how it's cooked. And by the way, your sliders were great out there. And one of the things that made it was good bread.
Yep.
You can ruin a sandwich really quick by not having, you know, the meat to ratio, you sure. know, as well.
But
as,
the bread could still, be too much. It could be
it
too
could,
much.
Overpowering. You lose completely. And you talk about that all day long with cheesesteaks. But brisket is one of those tough ones to cook. I judge barbecue restaurants based on a brisket. I did one in Philly the other day. Horrible brisket. You can't judge it based on a smoke ring, by the way, everybody. If you're looking at the briskets and you see the smoke ring, in competition barbecue, you're not allowed technically to judge by that smoke ring because it can be altered using phosphates. A lot of rubs have them in there that kind of can saturate the meat and give it, but it definitely looks pleasing to the eye. And as we all know, you eat with your eyes beforehand.
It and that, what he's talking about is the smoke ring stretches.
The pink ring.
It's when you slice into the meat, it has that pink ring around the outside of it. So you have like the crust on the top, and there's a pink ring, and then it's your meat on the inside, right?
Yep.
So that pink ring is where the smoke has been absorbed into it, right?
Yep. And you know, a lot of people, so the whole low and slow, fast and hot, the theory and you know the science guys are all behind us now. Most meat will take smoke, and there's a couple schools of thought on this, up to about 160. After that, you can wrap it and speed up the process. Some of the guys, if you want to look at the websites, it's the AmazingRibs.com guys, and they have these science guys. A moist piece of meat, smoke molecules will stick to the meat more so than dry meat. So while you're smoking, if you're constantly spritzing, if you use a vinegar-based something or apple juice or water even, any smoke that you have in your smoker, I don't care if it's electric or a pellet or a stick burner, more smoke molecules will stick to it and give it more flavor. That's when you get into your woods, your apples, your cherries, your hickories, whatever you want to do, or just never use liquid smoke and never boil a brisket.
Yeah, never boil a brisket. That's pretty good. That's good advice.
They'll
right
do it.
There.
They'll boil a brisket, and then how you're going to hold it. And you have to let that meat rest. Cut the meat correctly from the start, and if you guys know how a brisket is, there's what they call the flat, and the strands go one way, the grain, and then they have the point, which is whether they make the burnt ends, which is a big fatty end on the end, and it's perpendicular. And so always, once you cover it, whether it's just salt and black pepper, like you know Texas style, it's going to give it a nice bark on there. If you wrap it, it's going to be a little softer. But you'll lose the angle of the grain, so what I suggest is making a slice before you actually do that. Just cut down about a quarter of an inch, and that will tell you the direction to carve that brisket from the start all the way through.
It's great advice right there, isn't it? Great. Carrie, you agree with all that?
I agree. Cool. Yeah. Sounds good.
Good.
Yeah. Drop the mic. Well, but sauces are important, and sauces are great with things. I enjoy sauces. And Stretch, you have a bunch of sauces that you make, right? Grinder sauces.
Yeah, we have a whole hot sauce line at grinderspizza.com. No, and we have our barbecue sauce as well, and our rub. We have some of our rubs over here as well.
So what we're going to do is we have a little tasting over here. If anyone wants to give it a try and jump in the mix here, we'll have a prize pack for you. And, of course, everyone who gets over to do it can of course, get a hat, and Dave's going to do it. Anybody really interested in trying some sauces for us?
Yeah, so we have two spoons. So we're two looking for two people to go head to head for this hot sauce challenge. So
come on, get it.
Before you do that, can I have another Fisher's Island?
Dave, you
want to
go over there, grab a mic? Here we go. We got two. Here we go. We got two gentlemen.
Okay.
We got two. All right.
Are you doing death?
Uh-oh. I think yes. We have four. Do you have any more spoons?
Should we
Does
not?
Does anybody have a heart problem, pregnant, or expecting children?
Yeah, the death sauce is a stopper.
We need some more
there
spoons.
There was one of those death ones that was open.
All right. So here we go.
All righty.
Need some more spoons over there. We got four people who want to give it a try. We'll get all four in here. Let's give it a try. Dave. Oh, let's talk to our first contestant over here and see what his name is and talk about the first sauce.
What's your name, sir?
Bones.
Bones?
All right.
There you go.
Perfect.
And so show Stretch which sauce we're going to do first so we can – which one is that, Stretch?
That's our Wimpy. That's our low end. It's tons of flavor. It's got it's got mango as a main ingredient in that. It has cayenne mash for the heat. It's got – a bunch of other goodies in there. It's one of our best selling sauces in the restaurant.
So just keep a little quite tiny nice, taste there, Dave, for a little tiny taste.
Very easy on you. It goes great with eggs. I have some guys that put it on ribs actually when they cook it instead of tiger sauce.
All right, he's getting in there.
You can totally handle that.
Bones is getting it. Looks like he's handling it just fine. Miss Dave, find out her name really quick, Dave, before she gets in there.
Well, what's your name?
What's your name?
Deb.
Deb.
All right, here we go. Bones, what do you think? Get the mic on him, Dave.
Good. It's strong. It's good.
The tasty
mild.
Sauce, right?
Mild.
It's wimpy.
All right.
That's a picture of me when I was a kid on there, by the way.
Dave, you do the mic and let Mike handle the pouring and stuff.
So it's not real spicy.
That's correct. It's the wimpiest I have.
Not bad.
Not bad. It goes up from there. On the highway of heat, that's like exit one.
All right, here, find out her name.
The next one exit about... Kit.
All right, Kit, are you a hot sauce person? Do you enjoy sauces? Dave, put the mic on her. She talks.
Yeah, I use a lot of hot sauce.
Use a lot of hot sauce. Okay, right. Okay.
So you still
right,
did you did the wimpy. So that's still exit
that's,
one right
that's
there.
That's very good.
Mike, let's move Bones on to the next one. Let's move him on to the next round.
Bones, you're moving.
Oh, we got one more.
That's all right. That's all right. We'll get this gentleman too.
What's your name, sir?
Henry.
Henry.
All right, Henry, are you a hot sauce guy?
Mm-hmm. All right. So now they're doing our molten, I believe.
That's good.
Molten is one level up out of exit 103 on the highway heat.
Okay. And now listen, no one wants to tap out yet, right? Any of you guys, nobody wants to tap out. You all want to keep going.
Hey, we need a safety word.
They're all going to keep. All right, here we go. They're tasting.
So that has the same flavor profile with the tarragon, the oil, the garlic, except that has a habanero mash and a cayenne mash.
Ooh, nice. That's going to be a little hotter. Kit, what do you think of that?
That's about a 103 there. Also, that's won SCOBY Awards as well.
This is that hot, but the other one I think has more flavor, but this, I don't know.
Ooh, okay.
When I made it, I said, ooh. It is definitely spicier, yes.
I think it's really good. The other one better, though.
Let's talk to Bones and see what he thinks.
Bones, what do you think about that?
A little hotter.
All right. Does anybody want to tap out yet? Does anybody want to use the safe word?
Okay. Right. This is our near death.
Near death sauce.
Death. So this is on the highway heat, guys. This is about exit 112.
All right, 112. Bones
so
is
a little
first.
Bit of a hot. It's got a whole different flavor profile than the other two. Look, this one has a little more vinegar base.
Let's see what Bones say. I like the vinegar thing. Vinegar's great in the hot sauce.
Vinegar
I love it.
Bones?
Now we're cooking.
Now we're cooking. Let's move on down and see what you think there.
Henry?
He says getting there. Is that a change?
It's good. I like it.
Hey, that's a totally different flavor profile, right?
Yeah,
she's a firecracker.
Some people like it or they don't like that one.
There we go.
It's
Dave.
Good.
They put the smell. Smell the sauce. And give me the nose.
Mike, just have him. You stick the back end of the spoon in.
All right,
guys. Real quick, sorry.
Before we do it, Dave, give me the nose on that. Mike, to your mouth.
This one or the death?
That one. Yeah, the near death.
Chug it, chug it, chug it. Hey, guys, on this
like
death nectar, honestly,
smell to it.
Mike.
All right, so everybody, before we taste this sauce has a disclaimer.
Yeah, we'll kill him.
Stretch, I ate this sauce with me screaming memes.
What is in this sauce?
Yeah, talk about the sauce.
So this sauce has the anal secretion of Satan in it.
Okay.
It's very difficult to collect.
We'll save the anal gland for you there, Dave. Carrie, you an anal gland fan?
Yeah, that's my favorite.
How exactly do you smoke an anal gland?
Difficult. You have to smoke it in a bubble.
Right, okay.
Do you inject?
Always.
All right, so look, let's go one at a time here, Dave.
Whenever I get the chance.
Put the mic on him, Dave, as he tastes it. I want to see where he's at here. Our Bones just took a bit of
the end of the night.
Of the death sauce. What do you call this sauce, Stretch?
Wait a minute. There's nothing wrong. The other one.
Yeah, give it about 7 seconds.
No, five.
He can't talk. His voice is gone. Here we go.
The main ingredient is actually pineapple.
My dad.
That has cuttlefish ink in it.
Oh, we got, all right, she's out. Nicely done. We'll make sure we get a hat for you. We got some
It's worth the ride, trust me. It's like your first night in jail. Yes, for about 7 seconds. It actually has espresso in it as well. But to give the...
All right, Dave, who's up?
Isn't that good? Yeah, we've won all sorts of this.
Oh.
Did Bones get enough of it?
Oh.
You better wash your fingers, too, by the way.
Do you know how often I tell him that?
Trust me, you open the label. You're going to rub a body part later. This will burn you twice and sometimes burn a loved one.
Yeah, I ordered these cases, and one of them came in broken. So I'm like, oh, no big deal. I just cleaned it up. I cleaned it up, got it in my fingers, and I'm like, oh, I got an itch. And I'm like, went to my eye, and it started. I felt it before I even touched my eye. So you keep this stuff away from you.
Yeah. All right, who else just had it? Who else just had it over there?
You got it, right?
Nice.
Yeah, these three.
No, I can taste the pineapple, but that's hot.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go. Done. Well, these guys all win here. We've got prizes for them. Yeah. We need a glass of milk. That'll do it, too.
Good job, Henry.
We'll get them all a hat. We'll get them all a hat. Here, you know what? Here.
Bones, I'm pretty impressed. You all right? You got your voice back?
We got stuff for you guys over here, too. Don't worry. It's coming. Dave will make sure you get hats.
You must not have given me enough. Because
let's get both. He wants more.
The other one killed him.
So he's bragging over here.
He wants more.
That other one was hotter than that.
Yeah, he obviously.
He didn't give me enough.
Give them all chef spoons here. Who compete? I think one of them's already got some. So listen, you guys, I appreciate you taking the time of coming out here.
Mike, you need to try the death nectar. Yeah, hook him up with the death nectar. He hasn't really tried it.
Oh, he wants to try it too. We got another hot sauce
Bones.
Going
Bones
on.
Bones didn't get enough death nectar. He thinks near death's hot. Kill him. Go for it.
You're trying to kill this man.
We got a nurse in the house. Where's your wife? Where's your fiance? She's a nurse.
We're trying to kill this man, Stretch. What are we doing here?
Hey, there's no video.
That's right. Hey, does anybody out there have any questions for our panel up here tonight? Anybody have any questions? We got a microphone right here for you. You can come up. We can ask a question or two. Everybody comes up, gets a hat, of course, from Ergo Chef. Oh, she needs
water. I've seen people immune.
Do you remember that girl that was at the
what is he talking about? He has no microphone on.
Man, wow. I've seen people be immune to him. I have it. You guys, you're an anomaly.
He said that one's hot.
The near death.
He just figured it out.
He thinks, no, he says the near death's hotter than the death knife.
Really? How about that?
Yeah.
So listen, ladies and gentlemen, does anybody have any questions they want to ask our guys up here? Does anybody have any questions from the group here? Anybody want to come up and find out some more information about barbecue or talk about traveling or talk about food trucking? Anybody want to come up? We got a microphone right here. And everybody who comes up, of course, is going to get a hat from Ergo Chef.
Or you can just yell from across the room. You don't have to stand up.
Well, we got to get the microphone so people can hear it when it's recorded because this is live.
This is live?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Like hello, hello?
Yeah, like everyone's
hey, how come no one's calling in? The lines are lighting up.
Well, I have a question.
All six of our viewers or listeners out there, how many we got?
Ooh, right now we're at about 2,300. So that's our,
yeah. Hello, 2,300 people. Yeah. If you have a question, call Ergo Chef. What's the number here?
They didn't pay enough for that. What are you talking about?
Hey, what's your mobile phone, Mike? 8675309.
Well, the good news is, too, that it's not just a night about barbecue and a night about sauces and a night about flavors. It's also a night that's really important because I think it's
somebody's got to have a question.
It's a birthday. I think it's a birthday.
Oh.
Yeah, how about that? Ladies and gentlemen, Stretch is turning 41 again this year. Happy 41st birthday.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Hey, sing it. Sing it, Plum.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Stretch. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah. I like my gift. Thank you.
There you go right there.
Thank you all so much. This
it's
is
all a thing right there.
That's awesome.
Big birthday wishes
for Radio
right
Land. It's a beautiful
Stretch.
Chocolate, vanilla, something or other.
That's a
swirl.
Cheesecake from New York.
A cheesecake
from New York City.
Awesome.
From New York.
Does anyone have a knife to cut this open?
Yes. I love how Mike says it's from the New York City. Does he realize that's 15 miles away? Yes. Like it's not really that far.
Where's that? Down in my Paris, Texas, New York City. New York City.
It's a junior's cheesecake.
There you
go. Right off Bushwick. What's that in Brooklyn? Right there,
Gary. Yeah. On Instagram and Facebook. What's your Instagram handles? It's we doing Chef Zip Exchange.
Chef Zip Exchange
at Chef Zip Exchange on Instagram.
Yep.
And of course, Stretch, you're the man, dude. At Stretch Artist on Twitter and on Instagram. We appreciate you coming out here and having a good time with us and drinking all of our Fisher's Island. How many have you had now? 46.
I've had none.
How's your thumb doing? Better?
My thumb is not pulsing blood anymore. It's pretty good.
There you go. It's good. He's clapping for no bleeding. Well, you don't clap for no bleeding. That's not something you clap for.
He brought some of that death plastic that they put on to glue it together.
Is that what it is?
The stapler didn't help. Whoever, by the way, Mike, your assistant secretary's sister up front, I used her stapler to staple my finger closed earlier.
That's nice.
That's right. That's right. And
stationary.
Which hand are you cut on? Which hand is it?
That would be my right thumb, so I can only hitchhike eastbound.
That's right. And listen, here's what we're going to do. Check this out, Stretch. So that's going to be our
secret. Makes no sense, guys. It really doesn't.
If you can DM me, if you DM me on Instagram right now and tell me which finger, which digit on Stretch's hand got cut, I'm going to send you a brand new pair of shoes from our friends over at Shoes for Cruise. I'm giving away shoes. That's what I'm doing.
Wow.
All they have to do is DM me what digit of your hand, and you just said it.
I did.
Got cut. And I'm going to send them a brand new pair of shoes. How about
left
that?
Left and right?
You confuse them now.
Shoes.
It's a direct message on Instagram. I got to give away stuff on the actual, like, because I have kids and I can hear whatever. That's the way it goes. But so DM me which hand Stretch got cut on, which digit, right? I want the digit and the hand, and you're going to get a free pair of shoes from Shoes for Cruise.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
How about that, right?
DM'd him.
And we're going to give that away on, Friday. We'll do it Friday. So if you DM me by Friday, we'll pick a winner and a brand new pair of shoes. How about this? Maybe we'll do two. I'll save the other pair of shoes for another giveaway. We'll do the giveaway here.
So you're giving away shoes. Does it matter what size?
No, I give you a promo code. You can go to the website and get whatever you want.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, man.
To tell you what finger I cut and what hand.
It's because we only have six listeners. That's why they give us free stuff to give away.
Man. So
that was sarcasm. That was sarcasm.
It's only 12 shoes.
It's not some of the other shows that, you know.
There goes that math again. It's like Chisholm Bop with
there
four fingers on
that's
one
right.
hand.
So DM me. DM me, you guys. Tell me what happened to Stretch's hand, which digit, and you're going to get yourself a free pair of shoes from our friends over at Shoes for Cruise. Stretch, you are the man. I appreciate your time
thank
coming out.
Thank you guys
out.
So Carrie, much. Ergo Chef,
you.
Everybody.
You are the man, brother. So much fun. Dave.
Chef Plum,
Ergo Chef,
man.
Of course. Chaney, thank you very much. A lot of fun. So much fun being out here, man, and I can't wait to do it again sometime. So, ladies and gentlemen, in the meantime and in between time, please remember food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Make sure you follow Stretch. Make sure you follow Carrie. Don't follow Dave. No one really likes him. He's not very good at what he does. I'm just kidding, Dave. We love you, man.
That's kind of creepy.